Good morning, Townsend Church. Happy Sunday to you. And yes, your calendar is correct. It is the first Sunday in May. Make no mistake about it. It's the first Sunday in May. And we are still alive. We're still doing church. We're still making it happen just a little bit differently. Isn't it good to know how great God's grace is and how sufficient it really is? Just when we feel like we've made it to that breaking point, He kicks it in and He takes us further than we thought we could go. That's awesome to me. And so let's, before we get into God's word today, how about we pray? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you again for all that you do. Thank you again for one more opportunity to meet together, even though we are in our living rooms or in our bedrooms or on our decks or wherever we are. Thank you for one more opportunity that we have to dive into your word together as a church family. May all that we do today and all that we cover be sufficient. May it challenge the believer and the non-believer alike to go forward towards you so that we can experience something better. May you be glorified in all things, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I think about life, I think about how everything in life is all about trying to get to that next thing. We all do it. We all struggle with that. Think about your job. You are satisfied with your paycheck, but there's always that next level that you might be able to get to. And so you work and you strive and you struggle. And in those strivings and in those struggles and in that work, there's a lot of cost that is involved. Maybe you lose energy from the day. Maybe you lose time from your family. Maybe you lose money from the investment that you have to put in. But there's a cost involved in trying to get to that next level. Think about working out. I remember when I used to work out, especially in college, that I had to tear down my body in order to build it back to make it stronger. And really, that's what runners do. They run further than they ran before in order to build up more endurance. And with workouts, there's pain and there's suffering to get to that next level, to get to that next outcome. And even in parenting, it's kind of both of all of that. There's a cost involved, man, and there's some pain and suffering. But we know that there's going to be an outcome. And in every situation in our life, we realize that there's an outcome from that. We know that that outcome is either going to be positive or it's going to be negative. It's one of the two. There's very little, if ever, any kind of gray area there. It's always a positive or a negative. Sometimes it's both. But in every life situation that comes into our presence and we get involved in, we know that there's going to be some type of outcome from it. In fact, it's an interesting statement that I heard recently that we don't choose our trials. We don't choose things that come into our life, but they choose us. There are things that have happened in my life, and I know that have happened in your life, that you would not have chosen that, but here it is. But here's the trick. We can choose how we respond to that trial. We don't get to choose what comes to our life. Sometimes we, our decisions bring those things, but there are a lot of times what we're talking about today are things that happen that are out of our control. They are trials, they're struggles, they're new potholes in our life that we were not expecting. It kind of catches us off guard. And we have a response to that. It is our responsibility to choose wisely, to formulate that into a positive outcome, but sometimes we choose it and it becomes a negative outcome. And you know, sometimes we just think, we'll just pray it away. And we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray and it just doesn't go away. Or I'll just have enough faith. If I just have enough faith, it'll go away. And I know many of you have amazing faith, and yet some of these circumstances are still in your life. Does that mean you have a lack of faith? No. Does that mean you're not praying well enough? No. It just means that whatever has been allowed into your life is meant for some reason. And so, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what happens. What does it look like when these things enter our life? What can I do to make sure that I get what I need to get out of it? And so, here's our thought for today. Active faith is persevering to something better. Active faith is persevering to something better. Now, the key word for me, there's two key words there. It's active and persevering. Now, in our sermon prep meeting, we kind of went back and forth of, do we really have to say that faith is active? And unfortunately, sometimes we do, because we think that faith is enough and I don't have to do anything with it. But our faith should always be active. So I put active there to remind us that it's always active. It's always doing something. And some of the key words that we thought about and discovered when we talked about active is an involved resolution. Our active faith is an involved faith. It's a resolute faith. It's a faith that says, I'm going to be involved in this. I'm going to be active in this. I'm going to be always doing something with it. I'm going to be exercising my faith. And I'm going to be resolute in that. I'm not ever going to give up. I'm not ever going to quit. I'm not ever going to deter from this. I'm not going to take a detour from it at all. I am actively pursuing. I am involved in this thing. I am resolute in my decision that I'm going to have faith in God. And that active faith is so important for us. Because active faith and what that looks like, what it should be, is this. It's persevering to something better. Now, when we talk about perseverance, it's determined endurance. Now, what I'm doing is I'm taking a lot of different words from that and I'm kind of putting them together. But where I take perseverance is determined endurance. Persevering means I am determined. No matter what comes at me, no matter what hits me, no matter what I come against or what comes against me, I am determined that I'm going to endure through that. And enduring means it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. But when I can think about my active faith, my involved resolution to determine that I'm going to endure to something better, that is the mindset that we have to have. That no matter what is being allowed into my life, I may not have chosen it, but I can choose what to do with it. And I'm going to choose to actively go after this thing. I'm going to actively persevere because I know on the other side, something is better. And when we choose to actively persevere through our faith, we can experience things that we could have never, ever imagined in a million years. Because God is at the beginning of it, He's through the middle of it, and He is certainly at the end of whatever He has allowed into our life for us to experience something great. Excuse me. It is important for us to know that active faith is not just doing. Active faith is also being. I can be actively persevering in my faith by sitting quietly and being still and know that He is God. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's not out serving. That's not out being a servant. That's not out doing so. No. In order for me to also be active in my faith, I must be active in my soul of pursuing stillness, pursuing inner holiness, by being more like Christ, by being contemplative in certain things about who God is and what He's trying to get me to do, and then also be active in it. So it's all of that. Active faith is not just about the doing, it is really also about the being, because my being informs my doing. Now that was a lot. So I hope you can chew on that a little bit as we turn to James chapter 1. Let's go to James chapter 1 so we can kind of see what James has to say. Now, it is believed very strongly that this is the brother of Jesus writing this. Some believe that it's just one of the other disciples, but I'm going to stand in the area that I believe that this was Jesus' brother who is writing this. Now, you got to remember, Jesus' brother was not convinced at the beginning. He grew up with Jesus. He knows Jesus. And to say that this is my Lord and my Savior when He's my brother, probably a little weird for those guys. And so, as he's writing this, his stance has changed. His tune has changed. He has watched so many events unfold. He's watched people like Paul and Peter and listened to their teachings. And here's where he takes a stand. And it's a stand for us that we can go with. In James chapter 1, verse 2, he says this, "My brethren," what a wonderful statement. He's saying, "You are my brothers. You are the ones that go with me. You are the ones that I am acknowledging that we are together in this. We're brothers. We're talking to other believers. My brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. James, at the very beginning of his letter, he gives his introduction of who he is, and then right off the bat, he says, all right, here you go, friends. Let's count it all joy when we find ourselves in a spot. What? Now, those are one of the things that I kind of scratch my head at, and I really have to wrestle with, because I really don't care for how that sounds. I would much rather it sound something like, count it all joy when you get to experience all the good stuff with God. There will never be any bad stuff. You just get to be joyful all the time and experience all the good things with God. That would be awesome. That's not what it says. It says, count it all joy when you find yourself or when you fall into various trials. Now, for me, when I look at fall, this is kind of sudden. It's unexpected. It's a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't expecting that. I fell. I tripped over something. It's something that caught me off guard. And it's all kinds of stuff. It's various trials. It's never going to be the same. Once you conquer one and learn from one, there's another one coming. Now, for many of you that may be new to all this, that may sound frustrating. And seriously, I signed up for that. Yeah, you did. Because James is going to let us in on some secrets and help us understand why that is important. He says, knowing, we know this, we know, we've watched it, we've seen it, we've been told it, we know that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, the testing of your faith is really just the exercising of your faith, because God does not test us or tempt us, but he exercises our faith. He puts something in front of us to see and help us to be better through it. He allows things into our life for us to be exercised in order for us to get better. He says, knowing that the testing or exercising of your faith, it produces patience. Well, for sure, for the last 8 weeks, we've had to practice a lot of patience and experience a lot of patience. But in this instance, what is he talking about? What are we being patient for? What if we're being patient for the coming of Jesus? What if we're being patient for his grace to kick in? What if we're being patient for his goodness to happen? What if we're being patient for his answer to our prayers? So the exercising of our faith builds within us patience as God is working. We've talked about this before. God may be doing things around us that we didn't know about that's preparing us for what he's trying to answer for our prayer. Maybe what we are enduring has nothing to do with us at all, but the people around us that he is patiently working with, and so we need to be patient as we're caught in the downdraft of that. There's so many things that play into this that he's working with and helping us with. But then verse 4 is so good, and this is kind of the last verse for today. It says, but let this patience, this waiting, this pausing, have its perfect work. Well, wait a second. So this enduring, this persevering, this exercising of our faith has a purpose. It has a job. It has a responsibility. What is that responsibility? It's to create patience in us so that it may have its perfect work. And what is that? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Are you kidding me? So James is saying, listen, this thing that you're having to deal with, this thing that has been allowed into your life that you wish and you're praying away and you're trying to faith it away and it's not going away, don't doubt your faith. Don't doubt your prayers, but embrace what you have. Allow it to cause you to persevere through this exercise so that you may increase your patience, so that while your patience and in this pause is allowing to work in you to make you more complete. It has a responsibility. It wants to perfect you. It wants to complete you. It wants to bring you to where God wants you to be. And when we can get there, when we have arrived on the other side of that situation, we are complete and we lack nothing going forward because of what we have learned in that situation. Think about jobs again. Let's go back to your jobs. You found yourself in a job and you're having to go through classes and trainings and there's a lot of cost involved. But when you get to the end and you've persevered, look at all the wealth of knowledge that you have gained and the experience that you have so that you will be better for the next opportunity. Think about working out. You're tearing your body down to rebuild it, and it hurts, and all that lactic acid is in your body, and you work that out, and you keep going, only to notice in a couple of weeks that you're a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger, a little bulkier. You have taken care of yourself. And even with parenting, listen, I know from example that parenting is hard, but it is worth it. It is good to watch your kids and you struggle back and forth with it and have those hard conversations and you make them mad and you hurt their feelings and you get mad and your feelings get hurt. But when you come through perseverance and your patience has been exercised, at the end of that and you see how your kids have learned and how they've turned out, glory, hallelujah. What a great lesson for us. And folks, I know that you're probably thinking that I'm only talking about the coronavirus right now, but I'm not. This is in every situation of our life that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves in constant pause of exercising of our faith that we've tried to pray away and believe away, and God has kept it here. So what do with it? We persevere. We actively persevere through our faith in order to get to the other side of something better. That's what all this life is about. It is trial. It is exercise after exercise. It is pothole after pothole. It's about going through all of these things that are allowed into our life. Why? So we can be better on the other side. That's hard for us. It's not what we want to do. It's not what we want to experience. It's not really how we want to live. We don't really like that. But James says, whoa, 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 whoa. If you truly trust God the way that you say you do, if you truly believe that His grace is sufficient, then you can be involved in your resolution to live by faith and be determined through endurance to get to what He's trying to accomplish in your life that He's allowed to you to fall into so that you can be better. So the question that we have to ask ourselves and really that we wrestle with all the time is, do we really have to experience tough stuff? Do we really have to go through these things? Why can't He just snap His fingers or say the word? Or why can't we just pray a magic prayer and we just have all the patience and all the knowledge? The reality is God chooses to allow us to experience things so that we become better. So yes. The answer is yes. We really have to experience tough stuff. Scripture is full of teachings of helping us understand that we're going to have to suffer and we're going to have to work at stuff and we're going to have to deny our sinful desires and our fleshly wants and needs in order so that God can work a perfect work in us so that we can be complete, lacking nothing. Psalms 119 simply says this, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." The psalmist writes in the longest chapter of the Bible, he says, it's good that I've been afflicted. It's good that I found myself in tough spots. It's good that I found myself in scenarios that I would not have chosen for myself, but I have the opportunity and responsibility to choose to learn what I'm supposed to learn in the right way. I count it a blessing, a joy. That is the writer, an Old Testament writer, long before Jesus came, long before Jesus lived life in front of us, long before the disciples experienced Him. This writer said, it is a great thing that I experience hard stuff in my life. Why? Because I can learn your statutes. I can learn how you want me to live. Back to 1 Peter. Peter says this, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Very true statement. There are things in our life that we encounter that are all over the map. And Peter is echoing what Paul has said. He says, you know what? It's okay to rejoice. You can rejoice even though you're in a tough spot right now. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. He says, listen, gold, one of the best elements of the earth, it will perish someday. However, your faith is far more precious than gold. He says, rejoice, even though you find yourself in tough places, because the faith that you have is genuine. It's more genuine and better than gold. though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, all of these circumstances that we ever find ourselves in, whether it's our job or parenting or sporting or coronavirus or whatever it is, when we find ourselves caught off guard in a situation that we weren't prepared for, instead of grumbling and complaining and whining and moaning and looking for a way to rebel against it, Peter says, embrace it. Paul says, embrace it. James says, embrace it. Count it all joy. Rejoice, knowing that the genuineness of your faith, the thing that you have said you have stood on forever, is going to get you through to the other side. And when you have been tried by this fire, by this trial, you are going to be able to praise God. People are going to watch you endure this thing. And the way that you carry yourself through it is going to bring glory to God. That is what this is all about. In fact, here's the thing I want you to see. Our viewpoint determines our type of growth. How we view this thing that we're enduring. Maybe it is a tough spot at work. Maybe it is a tough spot with your neighbor. Maybe it is a tough spot with your children or with your spouse. Maybe it is a tough spot that you're having to live in right here, right now. But our viewpoint, how we choose to view it, determines the type of growth that we have. And here's what I mean. Again, if I choose to go back to what I love to call assumption land and live in negative ways and negative thinking, it's going to cause a negative growth. It's going to turn me bitter. It's going to turn me jealous. It's going to turn me frustrated. It's going to turn me angry. But if I can enter into this situation and I can change my viewpoint to the viewpoint of God is using this and allowing this for my good, for my betterment. He's wanting me to be complete, lacking nothing. He's trying to perfect me. We kind of call it progressive sanctification. That's a big theological term and churchy term, excuse me, that we use in looking at the idea that we're always trying to better ourselves in Christ, that he's always trying to make us better. It's progressive sanctification, making us more like Jesus. And so our viewpoint determines what type of growth. And if we can view it through an opportunity for God to make us better, he is progressively moving us into a form of righteousness that only comes in modeling Christ. Listen to these verses. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And the writer is continuing. He's talking about, listen, we have the first fruits. We've experienced this. This is Paul talking to the people in Rome, to either first century believers or maybe Jews that he's trying to convince to come over, or Jews that have came over and he's trying to help them work through, or maybe he's just talking to the Gentiles themselves, but he's talking to a group of people that he's trying to help them understand what all this is. And he says, listen, we, the ones that have experienced Christ in the flesh, the ones that have experienced the first fruits of the Spirit living within us, we are eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for his return. We're waiting to go be with him. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. He says, what I'm sharing with you is hope. It's this this expectation that is coming, this confident expectation that this is going to happen. And when we've seen it, when we watched it, when we were able to touch it, it's not really hope anymore because we see it. But why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. He says, okay, so we've already seen it, but now hope has changed. Our hope has left and he's going to be returning and we are eagerly awaiting for that. And if we are hoping for what we can't see, we should be eagerly waiting. How? With perseverance, with a determined endurance. And this should be active. This is an active word and it should be an involved resolution. We should be actively pursuing with a determined endurance, going after God. Really, if I could, I want to pause here and say, how are you waiting? How are you waiting for the return of Christ? Are you waiting with perseverance? Are you waiting with a determined endurance that no matter what comes to your life, you're going to make it to the end? Are you persevering with an active faith, an involved resolution that you're going to stay true to your faith no matter what? And that as you are persevering, are you waiting? Are you able to wait in the pauses of life that cause us to think deep within ourselves, to unpackage all kinds of stuff so that God can repack it? How are you doing in the waiting? Are you persevering? Are you able to sit quietly and know that He is God? Or are you more worried about, I'm not being active physically? Listen, it's both. We should be active in the waiting and active in the doing. We should be active in our being and active in our pursuit of Him. Our worldly viewpoint brings worldly growth. You see, our viewpoint determines everything. If we are viewing everything that we are experiencing through a worldly viewpoint, then we'll grow worldly. But if we can change that mindset and we can change it to a spiritual viewpoint, then we will grow spiritually. That's how it works. When we change our mindset to see that God is using all of these instances in our life to bring about spiritual growth from us, our spiritual being, our spiritual growth will actually bring about a physical change within us. How we see things, how we do things, how we live life. And we can do that eagerly through perseverance. 1 Timothy tells us, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Having promise of life that is now and of that which is to come. Listen, it is good that we exercise and we should exercise. I should exercise more. But Timothy is encouraged by Paul when Paul says, listen, you can exercise all you want, but that's only going to give you a little bit of profit. But if you will exercise your spiritual growth, that will give you more profit than anything you could ever imagine. You need to practice godliness and practice it and practice it and practice it. You need to persevere in it. You need to be determined in your endurance that you're going to go after God every time. Why? Because it gives us a promise of a life now and a life to come. Those are Paul's words. So for us, what we can do in all of that is we can accept the known and the unknown. That is hard for us because we want to know everything. And it's easy to accept what we know to be true. What is hard for us is accepting the unknown. And when I look back at this passage, I know that there are going to be trials in my life. And I can accept that. I've had many already. I've had many things that I've fallen into that caught me off guard. And I've had to endure those with perseverance. I've had to be determined in my endurance that I'm going to be resolute in my faith in all of that. But it was the unknown that hurt me. It was the unknown that I struggled with. How many times am I going to have to endure this? What is the outcome going to look like? What is it going to be the next time? Those are the ones that I don't like. Those are the ones that I struggle the most with. Think about parenting. I know that if I train my children in a certain way, they have a certain outcome that will happen. But the unknown is the influence of the world on their life. How will it counteract that? My job, I know that if I work hard, I'll get a paycheck and I will be recognized. But what I don't know is, how much will I be recognized? How much will they pile on? How far will they take me? I know that if I work out, I will be healthier. I will be happier. But how long? What injuries will I take on? See, I think that's the hardest thing for us in every life situation that we encounter. Is we're okay with the known, it's the unknown that we struggle with. It's the unknown that we don't want to deal with. It's that thing that we want to know and God says, no, you may not want to know. Trust me. And so we know that trials will come. We know that in the end it's going to be better for us. But the unknown of what it looks like and what we're going to have to endure is what brings us trouble. We know that faith must be exercised. But we don't know how. But we do know that the result is beneficial. I think that's important for us. We know that faith must be exercised. We know that. Well, we don't know how it's going to be exercised, and that worries us, but we do know that the result is going to be beneficial. And if we can take that spiritual mindset into every situation in our life, that God is allowing this for our good, that on the other side, even though we don't know what it's going to look like, on the other side of that, it's going to be beneficial for us. Now, does that mean the moment we get a terrible doctor's report, or we get a bad news from work, or our children do something that catches us off guard, does that mean instantly we just got to count it all joy? No, no, no. Work through your emotions. We are emotional people, and God knows that. What we want to do is endure and persevere through all of those crazy emotions that attack us, and then get to a place where we can rejoice and be joyful. Why? Well, for all these reasons, because we know that our faith is going to be exercised. And we know, we don't know how it's going to be exercised, but we can trust the one that's going to be grant us enough grace to be sufficient through it, because we know that on the other side it's going to be beneficial. This is an opportunity, folks. In every situation of life that we find ourselves falling into, that our faith is being exercised, it's an opportunity for God to reveal some things in us, to unpack those things that he's revealing, and then to repack our life in the correct way that it's supposed to be packed, and then send us out better than before. I really like that. I like to think that all the situation that God is allowing me to be a part of, that really he's using it to reveal some attributes or characteristics in my life that may not be useful to him. And he's revealing those so that he can unpack it to get to the root, to get to the bottom of that box, to get all the junk out, and then put back what is necessary and useful to him in order to send me out to be used by him. That is what perseverance is all about. It's recognizing that on the other side, God can use me in a better way. It is, excuse me, having a faith that is active, that is enduring, that is resolute, that is going to carry me through, that is going to trust God enough that he knows what is best. And so it's an opportunity for God to reveal, unpack, repack, and then send us out better than before, but it will not be easy. It's not going to be, it's not meant to be easy. If it was meant to be easy, everybody would be doing it, and we wouldn't need God. Because I would be able to do it on my own. There's a reason why this life is difficult. There's a reason why Jesus, God in the flesh, had to go to the garden and pray before his crucifixion. He couldn't do that on his own in his human nature. It was too much. And yet, in that moment, he was able to persevere through a strong, active faith, be resolute in his decision to follow his father no matter what his father allowed him to be a part of. And Jesus was better for it. In fact, we were better for it. But let me tell you something, it wasn't easy. But why are we doing all that? I think verse 4 of chapter 1 in James tells us the best. It's so we will be complete. We will be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. In other words, we will be progressively becoming more like Christ. We will take that box that he unpacked and repacked, and now we're better. We're more complete. Psalm 23, verse 1 is the very first verse there. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is so good. The Lord is so complete and so thorough that if I will just follow him and allow him to guide me, I will lack for nothing. There won't be anything that I want out there that he hasn't already given me internally or working in me to get me to that place. This is the Savior that we're serving and following. This is the God that has created you and loved you. He knows the boxes that are in your life and the situation that you have found yourself in, and he wants to guide you out of that. He wants to encourage you and strengthen you and help you learn what you need to learn to be better on the other side. But it requires us to persevere through active faith. Listen, there is joy in knowing completion is just ahead. I know the situation that you find yourself in right now. I can't understand that. And I'm not there, and I don't know what you're feeling and enduring right now. But I can encourage you and tell you that if you will just stick it out, if you will change your worldly mindset to, why is God doing this? Why is everybody against me? What's the point in all this? To a spiritual mindset of, God is allowing this for my betterment. God is allowing this for my good. I need to sit and be still while I actively pursue Him in knowing, what is He wanting from this? How is He trying to make me better in this? And there is great joy in knowing that in the dire of circumstances, on the other side of this, if I will persevere and pursue Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, that there's completion just ahead. There's joy in knowing that. There is joy in knowing that in this little spot that I find myself in, as hard and as awful as I feel that it is, and as crazy as my emotions may be right here, right now, I can take a breath, take a step back, remove myself from all that emotional response, and allow the joy to take hold of my life. Why? Because I know when I persevere to the end, that on the other side of the completion of this project or this trial or this spot that I find myself in, the completion of my life that God will wrought in me is going to be better than anything I could have ever imagined. I will be better for it. Folks, I know we find ourselves in crazy times, but this isn't the only time we're going to find ourselves in a spot like this. This is going to be continuing throughout the rest of our life. Remember, we live in a fallen world, and we will find ourselves in spots that we would not have chosen for ourselves. And yet God can leverage it. We can leverage it to be better in Him. Active faith is persevering to something better. Our faith should always be active, whether it's actively doing something or actively being like Christ. But our act of faith, we exercise it by persevering, by sticking it out, by being determined to endure whatever comes our way, because something better is coming. May God bless you. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being so good and so wise and so helpful. I pray that you would allow us to experience your grace and mercy every day. But Lord, we find ourselves in tough scenarios all the time, and we're not sure how to handle those things or how to do those things. But Lord, I pray that today that you have given us a shot in the arm and an encouragement to know that we need to persevere. We've got to stick this thing out. We've got to just stay with it, because on the other side, there is great joy to be had. There's completion to our lives. There's an unpacking and repacking so that we can be better. And God, that only comes from going after you and persevering through whatever you have allowed us to experience. Lord, I know that many that are listening this morning are really dealing with some hard stuff. Lord, I pray that their hearts are encouraged, that the joy can be vibrant again, that the emotions of their human lives would just go away, and that the spiritual joy would revive them to know that you have not forgotten them, that their faith is strong enough, that their prayers are being heard, but that you are just allowing this in their life for them to experience something new in you. May you be glorified in all things. Thanks for being so good. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We will see you next week.